Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'll tell you what, Dion in the chat says the world's gone mad.
I saw
it
the same.
Feels like it. We are right there, but we're still at work, you guys.
Yes, Dion, I saw the same comment. I was like, yes, that sums it up. The world has gone mad. There's false flags everywhere, people falling for different things, and we are here to navigate all of the propaganda right now, covering the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. I posted a tweet just a short time ago about the false flag that is now incoming about us going into war in the Middle East, and someone posted, well, Iran posted this to their own website, so that's case closed. Oh, yeah, pay attention.
I went looking for that. I didn't find it, because guess what? I can also use the internet, okay. Today's theme of the show is WTF.
WTF.
Yeah, like, that is kind of funny, though, if you can get, like, you can get blamed for what other people do, like, you know. It's like if somebody murders somebody with my pink flamingo in my lawn, I am not culpable for murder.
Right.
Yes. Iran posted it to their website. That means it must be true.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to unpack all of the lies today. We got a lot of stories to get to. We're going to talk about Iran is trying to kill Trump right now. So we better go to war with them right now to stop this. And it's amazing how all of the intelligence agencies and all of the mockingbird media is on the same page with this exact same story. And the timing could not be more interesting as we watch the Middle East descend into chaos. So we need to go to war with Iran right now. Americans, go fight in Iran and die. That's what we're going to talk about. What else are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the big child trafficking operation.
Yes, this is a continued story. We have whistleblowers. We have J.J. Carroll is going to join us because he is the expert on the matter. Also, Trump seems to be ghosting Zelensky because he does, in fact, want that war to end. Why he now is one foot in one war and one foot out the other, I fucking don't know, you guys.
Whoa,
I don't know.
Yeah. And is Justin Trudeau finished, or hey, surviving a non-confidence vote in Canada? But what is really going on behind the scenes? Is Canada ready to take a page out of the Kamala Harris playbook and say, you know, enough with elections, enough with Canadian voters? We don't need you to vote anymore. We know how to rule this country, so forget elections. We're going to look at Canada. We're going to look at all of it today on the show. So welcome everyone. Good to see everyone here on this. Wednesday?
Today's Wednesday.
Yes, today is Wednesday. Good to see everyone. Sorry, trying to get up my notes here. And good to see everyone live. Yes, we are live on Rumble. We are live on YouTube. And we have both chat windows up simultaneously here, just so you understand, as we look at our Rumble chat on the one side, and we have our YouTube chat on the other side. And we have our X chat as well that David monitors throughout the show as well. We should point out that YouTube is actively suppressing content that is anti-war.
Definitely. Yes, the piece we did yesterday where I tried really hard to make a thread between all the wars that the United States has lied to its own people about, and then to make a stitch to show us that clearly they're still lying and it's the Democrats in power who want war, that piece has been suppressed. It got about a tenth of the video views that we are used to, even though it did really well when we were here live together. And I appreciate those of you who were here for that. So we put it in the newsletter. I feel like it's a strong story that needs to be told because I've worked hard on it. Obviously, I feel that way. I'm biased towards my own work. But if you find it from yesterday and you want to share it, and also, have a conversation with your liberal friends and say, wait, we were wrong in all of these wars, but you think we got it right this time? You think your vote will not continue to bring about war on innocent people? It's a good conversation to have. I think I really want to have it. So help us out if you will and share.
Well, then we gotta
share that piece.
We can't forget that Google is a war contractor. So,
Yeah,
yes, good point.
Started as a contract from the CIA, exactly.
Good point.
But yes, we are on Rumble, so you can catch it on Rumble as well, and it's apparently not being suppressed there. So.
Do it just fine over there, so yeah. Yes. And you guys, this is just an emotional time. We're heading into an election. The rhetoric around war is horrific. People are dying, so I will try and clean up the language as much as I can. This is just, I don't know. I'm up to here. I'm going to try harder. I apologize for all the cursing.
Potty mouth, and I'm the one from Philly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are you going to do? San Francisco over here. All right, so we got a lot of news to get to. We're going to talk about what's going on with Iran and Trump in just a second. We are entering a new realm of tyranny, though, right now. Our three-letter agencies, which were once symbols of protection and order, seem to have been weaponized against us, the American people. In his endorsement of President Trump, RFK Jr. highlighted the gravity of the situation right now. The three-letter agencies, the CDC, the USDA, the FDA, are currently being run by the big pharmaceutical companies, the chemical companies that are supposed to regulate. And for that reason, we are the most unhealthy we've ever been in our nation's history. Obesity rates up 88% since 2019. The number of new cancer cases globally rose from 14 million to 19 million in 2020, an increase of 37% in just 8 years. And to top it all off, heart disease, the leading cause of death in the United States, has seen an alarming uptick after decades of decline. This is what happens when you have a healthcare system that favors profits over people, when three-letter agencies have been weaponized against the people that they're sworn to protect. Now, let me tell you about our friends at NMN. Now, this isn't just any supplement. It's a game changer. A recent Harvard study, you can look at this, when you can check out here, showed that NMN can help reduce weight, cholesterol, even blood pressure in overweight adults. The thing has been dubbed the limitless pill and can take 10 to 20 years off your life. It's like the fountain of youth in a bottle. But the FDA, no, they're trying to keep it away from us. Why? Because it's a healthy, it's a healthy alternative. A strong population is hard to control, of course. So the FDA is attempting to change the status of NMN supplements to be classified as a drug. Anyway, right now, we want you to try it for free. Right now, you can try buy two, get one free for the next 48 hours by using the QR code right there on your screen. You can try it right now as the FDA battles to try to take this off the market. Go to blackforestsupplements.com/redacted or use the QR code right there on your screen.
Well, President Trump says that he was briefed by U.S. intelligence, and he says that Iran is really trying hard to assassinate him, and he's all in on this one. And it's very confusing because when he was actually shot at in front of our eyes by a white American man, he definitely seemed demure about it, I guess. I hate to use that word because I'm not using it the way the kids are using it. He was shot at recently at his own golf course, and he played that down. But so why is he all in on Iran? That's weird, right? Also, why would Iran do that, given two American men have already tried to actually assassinate him? Why are all eyes on Iran? Well, here is his confirmation about this on X. He also posted it on Truth Social. Big threats on my life by Iran. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves were already made by Iran that didn't work out, but they will try again. Not a good situation for anyone. I'm surrounded by more men, guns, and weapons than I ever have been before. Thank you to Congress for unanimously approving far more money to Secret Service. Zero no votes. Strictly bipartisan. Nice to see Republicans and Democrats get together on something. An attack on a former president is a death wish for the attacker.
Almost everyone in the chat is saying Iran in quotation marks.
Like, yes.
The Don is falling for the deep state trick here. I mean, it's overwhelmingly, I think everyone in our chat believes that this is a false flag piece of garbage.
Well, so many weird things. First of all, he recently had said that he is refusing security briefings because when those briefings are leaked by somebody else, he gets blamed for it. So he took this briefing and he is parroting what they are saying to him. So that's strange. So does he actually believe this? And we don't know. We don't know what proof was given to him. The last time they arrested a man from Pakistan who said that he had been funded by Iran, who wanted to kill Trump. So why do they want it to be Iran so badly? It feels like that's their wish, right? Now, think about the piece we did yesterday about all the ways we are sold lies in order to go to war with a certain place. And then digest this information through that lens. Now, here's what NBC says about it. Here's what a spokesperson said. Why anybody would want to kill President Trump if they're from Iran. He says, President Trump, this is a spokesperson for the government, said, was briefed earlier today by the Office of National Director of Intelligence regarding real and specific threats from Iran. Real and specific, they said, to assassinate him in an effort to destabilize and sow chaos in the United States. Now, I feel like we're doing a pretty good job of that on our own.
Yeah, why should, like, don't jump into the mess when we're already shooting ourselves in the foot and destabilizing ourselves. Have you looked at our southern border?
Right.
Like, we're doing a pretty damn good job of destabilizing our country. We don't need any more help from Iran,
now,
for crying out loud.
The source here, sorry, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, what a way to get, so it's like if they know that Trump could potentially win, what a way to, you know, propagandize him to get him on board to the war that they want. So they're like, okay, we've got to convince Trump that this is all true so that we get the war that we want.
Yeah, Luke Radosky said the same thing today on Twitter. He's like, man, whoever is in Trump's ear, and this was, again, Colonel McGregor's biggest complaint about it, is that Trump tends to listen to the last person in the room. And, you know, whatever Luke said, he's like, whoever got to Trump, whatever's putting this in his ear, like, this is deeply troubling. Someone's gotten to him.
Yeah. So, okay. This quote, is there anything else worth looking at in it? Intelligence officials have identified that these are continued and coordinated attacks. So that's so interesting, though, right? Because what our government is telling us is that Iran is super dangerous and it's their nation state, not just anyone with Iranian blood, but their nation state that wants this. Meanwhile, if you listen, which we try to do, Iran has been publicly saying over and over that it wants diplomatic talks with the United States. They say that. So you would think, oh, okay, we think there's a threat coming from inside this government. Maybe we should go talk to them and assess if it's real. No.
And by the way, Russia,
talk to them.
And Russia is a close ally with Iran, very close ally with Iran. And so we're going to talk with Russia and try to formalize a relationship, as Trump has said, with Russia. But then Iran, an ally of Russia, is going to openly try to assassinate a president of the United States. That makes zero sense if you think about it.
Right. And so think of the things we're constantly trying to blame on Iran is nuclear weapons, even though we launched a cyber weapon on their nuclear power plant.
Obama did.
Obama and Israel. And, well, Bush was involved in it too. Bush number two. Nuclear power plants and now this assassination attempt and also being aligned with groups that we call terrorists. So this, though, was the headline from the last week of August. So this was about 3 weeks ago when their brand new president and their supreme leader said, we are open to talks with the U.S. Now, this was about nuclear program, but also about all diplomacy. They said, all we want from the U.S. is to lift sanctions and we will go to talk. So they want to accuse Iran of having nuclear weapons, but not prove it. They want to basically talk some crap and not actually talk to them. When Iran made this offer about their nuclear programs, here's what the State Department said. Oh, no, we're not going to do it. The headline, Biden administration throws cold water, saying we don't think they actually mean it. We are far away from returning to negotiations.
Yeah,
and in fact, the State Department later said if they really wanted to be serious, they would stop nuclear escalations, which we have no proof of, and start meaningfully cooperating with the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, which they do. So we are lying here. So look at the lies about Iran. We tell them all the time. It's just, it comes out of our mouth like vomit.
Well, and we have, and you should be suspect anytime suddenly the Biden administration is on the same page with the intelligence community, all of it. So Antony Blinken on an interview on the Today Show saying, oh, yeah, we take this threat very seriously against President Trump. You know, we're watching the Iranians. We're watching it closely. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Oh, Antony Blinken.
Yeah.
Okay, I trust Antony Blinken. I trust all of these three-letter agencies.
We want
You're all
to
full
protect him against Iran, but not against domestic threats. Not at all.
Yeah.
Well, and what's weird about this, Biden throwing cold water on it, wasn't it Obama? It was like while he was vice president when the first nuclear deal was reached, right? When they signed the, I'm trying to think of the right words, like the treaty.
The arms deal. The arms treaty, the nuclear treaty.
Yeah, where they basically, that's where the IAEA started coming in there. That was an Obama-era deal, right? So how could they be so far away from it when he was part of the team that came up with the original deal? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, stop trying to make it make sense.
Yeah, stop trying to use sense here, Philip.
Right. I was going to play you this video again where the IAEA says we actually are working satisfactorily with Iran. I feel like you don't need to see that again. You've seen it twice. So it's a lie. The United States makes up lies about Iran all the time. If you really want an inside scoop on how the United States just tortures Iran based on an alliance with Israel and for no other reason, read the book The Art of Sanctions, where this dickhead, sorry, I said I would stop swearing, but I'm not going to. The guy who wrote the book literally talks about how they had an idea that Iran had nukes, so they were going to sanction them into oblivion, and people die. Those are sanctions of mass destruction. So this guy can go out and get a Z-Pak if his daughter has an ear infection. But Iranian people, no, and that's their own fault. So I refer you to that. Where was I?
Let's put up a poll, because some people in the chat, well, like most people understand what's going on here, but there are a few people that are like, Redacted's being naive right now. Iran really does want to kill Trump. Okay. Okay. And look, maybe they'll have you believe that, and they'll have an Iranian that the CIA will have worked with and contracted with to carry something out, and they'll arrest him, and they'll say, see, look, that's exactly what we talked about last week on the show. That's exactly what ex-CIA agent Michael Scheuer said. He said, this is a tactic of the CIA. Find a dumb Muslim, find somebody that you can use to carry out an attack like this, and then you can paint them. Well, look, we swooped in and stopped them. They're trying to carry out an assassination attempt.
Okay.
Patsy.
And let's play this out. Okay, let's say, yes, Iran really wants to kill a presidential candidate in order to put us into chaos because we're supporting Israel. Why would there be no threats on Kamala Harris? Why would there be no threats on Joe Biden? Why would there be no threats on J.D. Vance? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Bueller? They would equally want to attack all of those people. Right.
But we're naive. OK, then I'll play it out. Maybe we're being totally naive. Maybe the CIA is right. Maybe these three letter agencies are telling you the truth. Maybe the Biden administration is not lying to you. Maybe I've been fooled way too many times by these people that I'm not going to buy the line and the crock of garbage. And when I see them going to The Washington Post and I see them showing up on all of the major broadcast television stations that they're in bed with and they're all on the same page with this story, I don't believe it. But yeah, like, you do you. I'll be surprised.
I would say the CIA is just all of a sudden like, you know what? We've lied to so much. Like, let's just start being transparent and telling the truth, guys. Like, we're losing the faith of the American people. Yeah. Let's just start.
They started today.
Yeah.
They started today. So I'm going to give them,
great.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. I mean,
Mike Pompeo on camera says that they go through training classes on how to lie for a living and deceive the American people. That's their job. But they're telling the truth now.
Right. And you think of all the false flags that we've been given to buy into wars, the ones we talked about yesterday. Noriega and Saddam Hussein and all of this. It's always they're attacking civilians. They're attacking peaceful protests. They're not allowing democratic elections. Well, I guess they think, well, the American people aren't buying that anymore. They're tired of that line. So now we have to think that one of their candidates is at risk. It seems like just a new spin on an old tale to sell you war. So buy it if you want to. I'm not gonna, but you can. In August, we were also told that the Trump campaign was hacked by Iran. We should just like keep track of this as they keep coming across our screen, right? So not only was it a Pakistani man who was, believe me, that was Iran, right, who tried to kill Trump. Now, there's new, continued and ongoing and coordinated threats. And also we had the hack of their campaign, even though it was the Democrats who actually hacked the Trump campaign. But sure, Iran did that, too. So that also came from the intelligence state, which, again, has used us a lot to get into war with false flags. But when we got that news in August about the hack of the Trump campaign, here is what DC Drano said. He said, let's call it what it is, the CIA hacking Trump again, right? Because they did it in 2016 through the Clinton campaign, or at least CISA or the CIA allowing Iran to hack Trump. So it's a workaround. It's a reach around. Can I say that? I guess I've already said so many.
Okay.
I'm on a roll today.
I'm not having it,
you guys. Okay. And since we know that the attacks on Trump persist, is this maybe a preemptive warning when another attack on Trump happens domestically? That's what Roger Stone predicted. Watch.
Suddenly the FBI announces they've uncovered an Iranian plot to kill Trump. This to me smells like a setup. so that if there is another attack on Trump of any kind, a road bomb, a drone, or God forbid, another bullet, well, then they can conveniently blame the Iranians.
Yeah, like John Lombardi in our chat says, a white Iranian. That's exactly what it is.
But I mean, okay, of course, that's what they're doing. Like that's what you do. Like you put the story out there, then you can do whatever you want. And when you finally succeed, then you've already got the blame placed. You don't even have to do the work afterwards because people will automatically be like, Iran succeeded.
Yeah. Although the word Iranian comes from Aryan because they did consider themselves the Aryan race of the Middle East. But okay, we won't get into that. So the question, why would Trump publicize this? Why? Did he see some solid evidence that we don't see? Let's leave some space for that. That could be the case. We don't know. Is he afraid because he's just getting weary of being shot at? Possibly. Or is he signaling that he is game for a war with Iran if and when he's elected? Israel wants us to go to war with Iran. That's pretty obvious. Trump has been very clear that he supports Israel. Is that where we're going? J.D. Vance, in one of his first interviews after getting the VP nomination, said that he's game for hitting Iran super hard. This was at the Republican convention. That's why the party music.
A lot of people recognize that we need to do something with Iran, but not these weak little bombing runs. If you're going to punch the Iranians, you punch them hard, and that's what he did when he took out Soleimani.
Okay, so does this mean that Trump will not deal diplomatically with Iran? He said he will do so with Russia, but Iran, no. Will he put more sanctions of mass destruction on them the same way that the Obama administration did? Will he do it then to go to war with Iran, as is Israel's desire? Well, here is my favorite take on this from Ron Paul. He says this is why we have such a bad reputation around the world, is this kind of rhetoric.
And the headline is, Trump's VP pick, Vance, says Iran needs to be punched hard. Well, that's great diplomacy, I'll tell you. There's a lot of problems in the world. And if you're sincere in changing it, you stick to principle and you have an open door for at least a discussion. If people will not discuss and will not talk and aggravate, then some people interpret that's our foreign policy. You do it our way or not, or it won't do it. But acting like a bully does not work.
Yeah, I don't vote to be the bullies, but okay, I vote for diplomacy. Doesn't look like either the Harris-Biden administration or a possible Trump administration is heading towards diplomacy. I hope that I'm wrong.
Yeah, someone in our chat, so Smokey Sargent, thank you for your $20 super chat, says they need an excuse to go to war with Iran to sell to the public, and something that would lead to the flooding of the recruiting stations for volunteers that the military is in desperate need of to go to war. Yeah, I mean, the recruitment numbers are in the toilet, so they need an enemy, right? You need an enemy. I mean, it's like the Wizard of Oz saying, right, we need an enemy to go to war. So yes, you need some sort of an enemy. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Iranians were the ones that took out Trump, not some Biden Harris supporter? No, an Iranian? Oh my God. Then we need to go to full-on war. And then anyone who says that this was a false flag is anti-American, you know, in the same garbage that they used after 9/11. It's brilliant rhetoric to get us to rally around a false flag and go to war in the Middle East, and millions of people die as a result of it.
It's an Archduke Ferdinand moment.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you want us to go into World War I? So I love this. Julie A. in our Rumble chat says, why do you guys always give Trump an excuse? How much is redacted being paid? Or are they just
blind?
Did
we just do that?
I think we just did a whole segment on how Trump is being duped. That's not an excuse. I mean, I think we just did a whole segment on that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know if we missed something here, but that's exactly what we're saying. And even many of you in the chat are calling him Zion Don, which I was surprised to see many of you are saying.
Because, you guys, this is not a show for binary thinking. We don't do that. You don't do that. I see your comments
There's plenty of conservative channels, media channels out there that are totally in the tank for Trump. Like, we are not that. Okay. We try to follow the facts. That's what our show is about. But if you have a certain worldview that needs being supported, you know, maybe you're like a CNN fan or an MSNBC fan. You need that like worldview supported. Those are great stations for you to do that. If you are totally blinded by, you can't look at facts at all, and you you're totally in the tank for Trump no matter what. You love Republicans no matter what. They can do no wrong. There are plenty of conservative media channels out there for you to watch. There's, you know, there's cable channels that are devoted to
sure.
it. We're not going to be that. So
I highly
know, that's
recommend
not, we've been, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say, I highly recommend if that's what somebody wants. They put a large bucket on their head, and then they just talk into the bucket and say what they want to hear, and then they will hear it back to themselves, and then they're good.
Feels good.
Right, yeah, it's a great echo chamber. I mean, as soon as President Trump picked J.D. Vance, there's a lot to love about the guy, but we were very critical about the money that has been taken from Peter Thiel, and we had Whitney Webb on the show, and I encourage you to all go watch that whole video and deep dive exactly that money and where that's coming from Palantir and Peter Thiel and those guys. So, you know, we're going to be critical of them. We're going to go where the facts take us, and we're not going to be shills for any of these guys. These are politicians, after all. These are human beings, and they have people surrounding them. And I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
I like to give people, whether it's Kamala Harris or President Biden or others, the benefit of the doubt. And until they disappoint me, right, or until we find out that there's people that are surrounding them that are really have their ear and they're controlling them. So anyway,
sure. All right, we have more news to get to. We're going to bring you an update to the border crisis that has led to child trafficking that plenty of people would like to believe is not happening, but
yeah,
it's happening.
Listen to this story. So would you believe that at the border, the southern border, that the illegal immigrants that are coming across the border are actually using these children and then recycling these same children over and over again, using them in this trafficking operation? It's unbelievable. And of course, this is exactly what's happening as part of this massive operation. So we're going to talk about that coming up here with J.J.
It was reported in the mainstream press this week. If you care to look, I know you care to look because you're watching Redacted, but a lot of people don't. So we're going to take a look. Brace yourself. You can tell I'm not in a good mood today. I'm not in the mood to be nice to anybody. Clayton, after the show, you might want to run in the opposite direction.
Ladies, men out there, that's why they have a thing called a man cave. That's why we can bar the doors. I told my daughter that last night.
No mood for bullshit.
My 12-year-old, I'm like, you have to understand, this is why men need a place in their house, whether it's the garage, a workbench, need a man cave.
I was going to say, I have a neighbor that he is around about noon, 1 o'clock, his garage door is open and he is in his garage until well after dark. any time of day I leave, yes. I say he's just in his garage.
Are you welcome to join him?
I've never asked. I don't want to hang out in his garage, but.
Oh, all right.
A panic room. Bodie Master says a panic room. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Before we get to the next subject. Yeah, I'm looking down the rundown. I'm like, every single one of these stories pisses me off. I can't be in a good mood about it, but I'm in a good mood that you're here and I'm in a good mood that we're together. That makes me happy. So before we move on, I'll tell you about our show sponsor in a joyful way. So if you would like to grow your own business, if you'd like to launch a shop on the web, if you'd like to launch anything, but you don't know where to start, Shopify is a great place because they have everything you need to grow your business, to present your talents to the world. So you can sign up for just $1 per month to try it, and they will walk you through every step. So this is what it's like to have an idea and actually execute on that idea. They will help walk you through it. They will help you learn how to take payments, how to market yourself, how to make a website that looks beautiful, not like it came from 2001. They know, and they have experts who can help you. Plus, they have round-the-clock customer service that if something goes wrong, they can help you. So in fact, the Redacted store is run on Shopify because it's just so easy for us to come up with an idea of something we might want to merchandise around our store, around our show, and we throw it up on Shopify. So you can find the Redacted store that's on Shopify. That's at redactedstore.inc. So if you'd like to do something just like it, go to shopify.com/redacted. And again, you can get a $1 per month trial period. And again, you get all the support that you need. So visit shopify.com/redacted.
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris is finally going to the U.S. southern border to see what her administration has wrought. And oh boy, we are now seeing the manifestation of all of the policies from the Biden administration destroying American cities. It has been boiling up and boiling up. Multiple reports now of gang violence, Venezuelan gang violence from Miami to New York to Aurora, Colorado to Chicago, all across the country, terrorists coming over the United States border And the Biden administration is facilitating all of it. And a bombshell news story today from the Border Patrol agents are warning that children as young as 8 years old are being recycled by different smugglers at the southern border, meaning that multiple adults are using these same children in these sex trafficking operations at the U.S. southern border, and nothing is being done about it. Somebody who's been warning us about it as part of a brand new documentary series, and it's one of the, I'll say this, hand to the heavens, it is the most powerful documentary I have ever seen. And I encourage all of you to go to thisistreason.com to see what J.J. Carroll, former 24-year veteran of the Customs and Border Patrol, has done along with partner Ryan Mata. Unbelievable documentary. And J.J. is, of course, trying to get the message out to anyone that will listen right now. Members of Congress, the United States, we need to wake up. And J.J. is joining us today. J.J., welcome back to the show. Great to see you. And amazing work on this documentary. I know we'll talk a little bit about it a little bit later, but it is the most powerful piece of filmmaking I have ever seen.
Wow, that's an incredible statement right there. And I share it with you, and I don't say this with any arrogance because I have nothing to do with it. I was just in it. Ryan Mata and his team, his editing team, created what I believe is a unicorn, never to be seen, has never been seen, and will never be seen again unless he creates the second one, which he says is even better. But I believe it is that impactful, and I'm glad that you share that. And the people that have been reaching out to me are saying the same thing. I have never seen anything like this. It's the most powerful documentary I've ever seen. So I wish it wasn't. I really do. I wish that I didn't have to create a documentary on the federal government child sex trafficking. Dear God, listen to what I just said. That is shocking on its own, Clayton, that I'm using federal government in coordination with child sex trafficking. I can't believe I have to say that out loud. I can't believe that I spent months of my life documenting and creating a documentary about the federal government trafficking children. I mean, that's shocking on its own.
You know, it really does make like The Sound of Freedom look like a Disney film. I mean, I'm just going to be bold and say that. It really does. So again, go to thisistreason.com, buy the documentary. Our audience has been amazing in the pre-orders, but go and check it out. Because now we've got this story today. I want to get your take on all of this. So the Border Patrol agents warning that children as young as 8 years old are being recycled by different smugglers at the border. I mean, this is just one of like 20 stories right now that we have at the border. And then Kamala Harris is going to go down there to Arizona and pretend like our border is secure. And she's now said she's against walls. She doesn't want any walls. I mean, they have literally created this insanity and this treasonous act. So first of all, your response to this 8-year-olds and recycled smugglers story.
You know, the sad thing is it just bounces right off me. Why? Because I watched it. I watched it in my career. It became very normal under President Obama, because President Obama refused to allow us to separate families. But under Trump made sure that these men that come in with these children are DNA tested, and we interview the child and the quote the parent, and if they're not, we separate them. Let me explain what this means when a man brings across a child. They call it renting. So they're renting children on the South Side. These are young children that have been sold or rented by their families or kidnapped from Central America, brought in Mexico, brought up to the border. They have been brutally raped multiple times. And when you look at these children, they drug them up almost to comatose state where they can't function. Their eyes don't move. They just sit there. And literally, I know it's hard to believe, the illegal alien just throws the child on his shoulder like a sack of potatoes, comes through the border. We release them because now there's no DNA testing. Biden removed all DNA testing. Do you know, Clayton, if that I'm a Border Patrol agent, I go, that's not his father. They can't even tell you when the child's born with their date of birth. I can't give a DNA test unless that man consents. So you know what they tell the Border Patrol? I don't consent. That's my child. Bye. And we release them. The illegal alien walks onto our streets to go wherever they go. That illegal alien turns the child back over, the package, to the cartel on the north side, and then they walk the child back. And then they rape the child, and then they drug the child up some more, and then they rent it to another person, and they tack on their smuggling fee. This is happening. Everyone knows it's happening, Clayton. This is not a one-off or this is not an anomaly. This is an every single day occurrence across the entire 2,000 miles of the southern border, and our government does nothing. Nothing. Think of what you and I are talking about. We're not talking about a dog or a cat. Maybe, Clayton, if we were talking about pets, people would be more upset than having right. children be done that.
Right. Yeah, if we were talking about pets, maybe the Today Show would actually cover it. Maybe 60 Minutes would actually cover it. But no, we're talking about children, and so it's completely blocked because it's all part of the apparatus. What you've uncovered in your documentary is that this isn't just some anomaly. This is an orchestrated invasion, and it's being carried out through the United States government under the head of the Department of Homeland Security. And it's being handled with all of these different NGOs, these non-governmental organizations, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. So when so much money is at stake, of course they're going to cover it up.
Yes, because they're all getting wealthy off it. Listen, let's just go to the base, okay? Let's just go to the root cause, as Kamala Harris says. If you want the border to be open, meaning you want more legal residents, legal immigrants to come into America and receive the green cards, then go to Congress and say, I need 10 million. I need 20 million a year, whatever that number is. But here's the rub, Clayton. If they come back and say, we need 10 million, then the question is, well, what do you do about the 10 millionth and one or the 30 millionth that tries to cross? You're not going to build a wall, Kamala Harris? You're not going to stand up the Border Patrol? This is the same woman that on X just saw this today, where somebody unearthed a clip of her dancing and shouting, no more deportations, no more deportations. Right. Lady, you are the border czar. Your responsibility is the sovereignty and protection and safety of the United States of America, and you have abdicated. You have not just abdicated. You have done this intentionally and purposefully. You are trying to destroy America. You are trying to fundamentally transform our nation. And if people won't speak this boldly and just say the truth, then our country is going to die in silence. And you're going to you're watching it. You're watching it in Springfield, Ohio, and everyone's shocked that they allowed 20,000 illegal Haitians into a community that had 38,000 people. You decimated the grave diggers are throwing shovels of dirt on the casket of Springfield. That community's dead. I don't care what you think that the people are going to do in Springfield. It's dead. It's a dead community because thousands more of illegal alien Haitians are pouring in, and you will be the minority, meaning the American will be the minority in their own community. It's over. It's over. And when they find out, Clayton, when they find out that they can win seats in the city council, in the school board, and take over the mayor, that's when the game changes. It's over. You can't.
And we're seeing it all across the United States. Of course, the reports about all of this Venezuelan gang violence now making national headlines. Finally, we've been covering it for weeks here on the show, and people called us xenophobic. You're anti-Venezuelan. No. We talked about the root cause of destabilizing a country and then coordinating with the Department of Homeland Security and wide opening our borders to allow all these Haitians to pour across the border, to allow these gang members from Venezuela to pour across the border into the United States. It's all coordinated. It is treason. It's all part of the plan. And are you surprised at all now to see the reports in San Antonio of this Venezuelan gang violence, Miami, Queens, New York, now Chicago on the precipice of disaster and a city about to explode? Surprising to you at all?
No, because Ryan Madden and I went across America and we documented it. It's going to be in our new documentary, Invaded. It's going to come out in 1 month. We documented it. Now, the question I get, which is shocking from interviewers, is what do you think that this is just like random? They're just taking over apartments in Dallas and Connecticut and San Antonio and Chicago and New York. And I'm like, are you kidding me? When you look at major gangs, huge international gangs like Trendera Agua from Venezuela, they're a corporation. They have a CEO. And he is dictating down to his lieutenants, this is what we do. We take over communities, apartment complexes, and then we own neighborhoods. And that's where we are, our home base is. And then we're going to spread out across America. And we're going to pull, what do you do when you're an army? You need land. You need to occupy land. That's what they're doing. And everyone's sitting here going, well, I don't know. Well, that maybe that's just Aurora, Colorado. No, they're in Connecticut. They're all over. This is just what we know about. And look at Aurora, Colorado. This is something maybe bigger that needs to be discussed, Clayton, is we have allowed millions, but in thousands within communities of illegal alien gang members. Our police forces are not prepared for this. Aurora, Colorado has 748 law enforcement officers for a community of 400,000. What that means is that Aurora, Colorado is an extremely safe place. They didn't need law enforcement. Now you have thousands of gang members inside Aurora. The police cannot, even if they wanted to, they can't win this war. And it is a war. They will be slaughtered in the streets by the Venezuelan gang members. Period.
It's the sanctuary cities, right? It's the sanctuary.
Yes, it is.
So you can't fight these sanctuary cities. And this is the point that I think is now coming to light, where you're seeing all of these pockets of violence all across the United States. They all have one thing in common: sanctuary cities. So it's very easy for you to find out if you live in one of these areas, because the crime spreads out. It's not just like in Aurora. It's not just in Chicago. It's not just in Miami or in San Antonio. It spreads out into the suburbs. So all these people that think, that's not near me, I don't need to worry about it. Sure, leave your garage door open at night and see if your bikes are there in the morning. Like, this is being reported all over the place. And the number of crime statistics is surging. We just got the new crime statistics out this morning. It's staggering. So theft is up, skyrocketing. Again, you know, just let your kids run around in the neighborhood. Let your bike sit out in the front of the house. Let your you would normally maybe leave your garage door open at night or in the afternoon while you're at home. Yeah, see if your bikes and see if all your valuables are there when you come home. Like, this is happening all across the United States, adjacent to these sanctuary cities.
It is, and when you look at it, let's just look at St. Louis, Missouri. This is because I live in Kansas, so it just came out yesterday. A wonderful man, police officer, 18 years, 2 children. Gets run over by illegal alien in St. Louis, murdered, killed, on line of duty. Wait a minute. The illegal alien had multiple arrests, multiple DUIs, multiple assaults. Why is that illegal alien in our country? But I want you to understand, I'm not talking about one police officer or one beautiful man that got destroyed and his family's ruined forever. I'm talking about millions. This is happening across America, as you said, and it's proliferating. I could go, Clayton, right now, we can do a timer, and I could go for 24 hours straight without even taking a break, drinking water, and just go from one crime to another, to another, to another, of illegal aliens destroying, rape, murdering, assaulting U.S. citizens across our great country. And our government has done nothing. And Clayton, this has to be said. This has not just happened overnight. This started under Obama, but it really accelerated under Biden. And the Border Patrol and local and law enforcement and DHS has not done one thing to stop it. Not one. I talk to all my guys all the time. They're saying we're doing nothing. Nothing has changed. It's all the same. 500,000 children have been lost under Joe Biden. They have been arrested and released and lost. They've had to admit that they have lost over 320,000 children. How do you lose 320,000 children? And I'm telling you, the number is 500,000. They just haven't told us yet. This and why I sound so passionate, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking right now, America. We're at 50 million illegal aliens inside America. 50 million. It's not even disputed in the House of Congress. They don't even dispute it. They just acknowledge it.
Yeah, we're watching a nation in absolute decline right now, and America better wake up. I mean, I think that's why you're seeing it in these poll numbers now. The media is trying to hide what's about to happen, mm-hmm. and the decline and the destruction of Kamala Harris, and Americans are fed up. 66 days now with no press conference. No wonder they're hiding her from the press, because they don't want her speaking to the cameras. Absolutely not. They don't want her speaking to the cameras. And regardless of what you think about President Trump, we know his track record on the border the last time. And so you can either choose this, what you currently have, or you can go back to what you knew worked but from before. And that's what we're sitting on right now. You know, your team just sent over a code. I want to make sure everyone gets a chance to get this for What is Treason. Please, everyone right now, go support this documentary. With the code REDACTED15, you're going to get a nice discount on it. You get the first the first documentary that's just come out, okay, and then you're going to get the second one for free, which comes out in about a month, which is Invaded, which I can't wait to see that as well. These two documentaries are like bookends to America's story right now on illegal immigration and what's happening, and what JJ and Ryan have done is just unbelievable and staggering. So again, Redacted 15 is the code. Again, I'm not affiliated with it in any way. We're not profiting in any way. I just want to be very clear about that. This is just, we want to help and get this message out. I really, really think that this is one of the most important documentaries you could ever see. So yeah, go to the website right now. It's thisistreason.com. Use the code Redacted15 to get a nice little discount. And we really want to thank JJ for what he's done, his amazing team. Once again, JJ, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for your time, Clayton.
Thanks, JJ. And I should point out, too, I mean, when you watch this documentary, it is, don't watch it in front of your kids. I will tell you that. It is the most eye-opening thing you will ever see. And the sources that they've got in this documentary, I mean, these are people who've worked in these facilities on camera admitting. These are government whistleblower sources on camera walking you through exactly how the child trafficking operation goes from point A to point B to point C. And of course, the United States government is the biggest purveyor of all of this. They've taken basically the main pain point away from these cartels and now are actively facilitating the most difficult part of the journey. And the Biden administration is doing this. So it's deeply, deeply troubling. It's a documentary every American should see. It's one of those that I want to share like with my extended family, you know, and you wonder like how many people in your extended family would sit and actually watch this.
Yeah.
You know, you must sit and watch this thing. As difficult as it is, it really is one of the it's the best documentary I've ever seen. So
horrific. Okay, we're going to talk about the war in Ukraine because Zelensky is still in town with an open hand trying to get the United States to continue to support this war. And he's terrified that if Trump wins, that won't happen anymore. So this might be his last free trip to the United States. Who knows?
I mean, he's actively campaigning for Kamala Harris right now. Zelensky is actively campaigning for Biden, Harris, and Waltz right now throughout Pennsylvania. I mean, it's unbelievable. You have the head, a Ukrainian dictator who canceled elections, is in the United States bashing J.D. Vance, bashing Trump, and basically campaigning on behalf, using, you're paying for it. Taxpayer dollars are flying him in so that he can go and campaign for Kamala Harris.
Yes. Okay, we're going to talk about that in a second. Oh,
maybe Trump should throw him a curveball and bring Putin over to campaign for him.
Do a summit.
That would be hilarious. Yeah. I mean, Sergey Lavrov is in town. Like, let's have you want to meet with me then? Yeah, you got to meet with that guy, too. OK, first, we're going to tell you about, though, Tax Network USA, because do you owe back taxes? Well, pandemic relief is over and the IRS, you know, has hired how many? 80,000, over 80,000 new agents. And what are they doing? Well, they're sending over 5 million pay up letters to those who have unfiled tax returns or balances owed. So don't waive your rights and speak with them on your own. They are not your friends. Tax Network USA is a trusted tax relief firm. They've saved over $1 billion in back taxes for their client, and they can help you secure the best deal possible. So whether you owe $10,000 or $10 million, they can help you. If it's business or personal taxes, even if you have the means to pay or you're on fixed income, they can help you relieve your tax burdens once and for all. So give them a call at 1-800-958-1000. Once again, that's 1-800-958-1000 for a private free consultation, and they'll just let you know if they can help you or not. Or you can visit tnusa.com/redacted. It's always good to have an ally on your side when you're dealing with the IRS. So once again, visit tnusa.com/redacted. Well, President Trump may be ghosting Zelensky on his money-grabbing tour. Here's the headline, according to the Associated Press and RT. Many headlines have reported this. Now, last week, we were told that Zelensky would have a meeting with President Trump. But now President Trump seems to have not found time on his schedule to meet with him. A reminder, Ukrainian president was flown over to the U.S. on your taxpayer dollars in order to present what he calls a victory plan, which is no plan at all. It's just a request to let Ukraine into NATO and to keep giving them money. Now, obviously, he hears President Trump saying we need to end the war in Ukraine. We need to get out of Ukraine. We need to broker a peace deal. And he doesn't like that because Trump has said it many times. He said it on the debate stage. He said it ever since. His running mate, J.D. Vance, says that he wants the U.S. to stop funding the war in Ukraine. Zelensky is just praying to God that Trump does not get elected, because then this would be his last free trip, all expenses paid, probably has the best suite in town, hotel suite in town, to come to the United States. Now, on the campaign trail, though, Trump did say, now that this sort of bickering between the two of them has come to an end, Trump said he's just tired of this act from Zelensky. Watch.
We will win. We will. He's been saying that for 3 years. Every time Zelensky comes to the United States, he walks away with $100 billion. I think he's the greatest salesman on earth. But we're stuck in that war unless I'm president. I'll get it done. I'll get it negotiated. I'll get out. We got to get out.
I love his Zelensky impression.
We will not leave until we win. What happens if they win? That's what they do, is they fight wars. As somebody
Okay.
Yeah, what does it mean to win? But, and what does it mean to win? No one asks that question, right? No one asks that question during the debate either. Like, right. When Kamala is like, we're going to help them win. What does that actually mean? Does that actually mean you're going to go and invade Crimea and take that land back?
That's the nonsense they've said, is not only do they want the territory that's disputed now, they want Crimea back from 10 years ago, lol.
Yeah, you want the land back that doesn't understand. Just read John Mearsheimer's great works on this. Study Jeffrey Sachs's great works on this.
Jack Bodes, I would, Gilbert Doctorow. Yeah, there's a lot of academics and people who study this conflict who won't repeat to you CNN headlines. So, okay. Now, Zelensky is responding to this promise by Trump saying he's going to get them to peace by saying, no, actually, peace is not possible. You can't have peace. It's not really an option. He said, we have to have war, and I want to come back and pitch this under a Harris presidency even more. What he specifically said is Russia can only be forced into peace. That's doesn't make any sense. It's the stupidest thing.
You can't have peace yet. We haven't beat you up yet. We can't stop. I have to beat you up first. Otherwise, right. It's not peace.
They had peace until they started bombing the Donbass.
That was over a decade ago. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Well, they had peace until the United States decided to foment a coup in 2014 and turn their government over and then allow them to bomb their own people. So he doesn't really want peace. He probably was still in college, when that happened last. Okay. So again, this nonsensical quote, Russia can only be forced into peace. And that is exactly what's needed. Forcing Russia into peace as the sole aggressor in this war, the sole violator of the UN Charter. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Also, Zelensky doesn't think that Ukraine is an aggressor. That's so funny, right? What do they call bombing civilians since 2014? What do they call kidnapping people off the street and forcing them into conscription to fight their war? What do they call attacking inside Russian borders? What do they call that? They're not an aggressor. That happened today. We can see you. So, okay. This is how the Kremlin responded to the idea of forcing Russia into peace. They said Zelensky is delusional. Russia also says that victory in this region is inevitable. So for Russia, they have a clear idea of what victory means. It means the space that they were asked to come in and protect from Ukraine's continued attacks, they will keep it. Those people voted, the borderline stays there now, and the fighting stops. That's what Russia considers victory. It's a pretty clear plan. Seems to me that's going to continue to happen. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, he's in the United States for the UN conference today. And he said this. He said, victory is the only plan because they don't understand any other language. Who is they? Occidentalists, the West. It's those of us who suffer from living under the military-industrial complex that likes to wage war abroad and doesn't actually understand ever the context of the things that we're up to. So here's what he added. This is Sergey Lavrov. Whenever the West infiltrates to fix a crisis, things only get much worse. Thousands of victims, devastation, and socioeconomic problems follow. In my years of work in the international arena, there has not been a single case of the West's intervention resulting in anything good. Now we're seeing the same thing with Ukraine and the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Ouch. That bit of truth hurts. Can you think of, is he right? Can you think of any time that the West has intervened and good things happened where it ended up for the better?
Iraq?
No.
Afghanistan?
No.
Spanish-American War. Remember the Maine false flag? Vietnam?
No. Guys, there's got to be one. Okay, Korea. So I sat there thinking today.
Korea.
D-Day is the only one I can think of. D-Day is the only one I can think of.
Yeah, but Sergey Lavrov was not working then. He said, in all of my years working in the international arena. So,
okay, so modern.
So that doesn't count. So not since
Libya.
World War II have we done anything
Nicaragua.
Good. Libya, no. Nicaragua, no. No.
Syria.
No.
Venezuela.
Guys,
that we did
no,
a good
I'm
job
asking
Venezuela.
Really that. Yeah,
Haiti.
No.
Haiti, when the Clinton Foundation and the Clintons destroyed Haiti. That's helped us, right? Because now we have a lot of Haitians in the United States. Yeah, when we destroyed
someone
Venezuela.
Says Japan. No, we dropped a bomb on them. We dropped a nuclear
Japan,
bomb.
Japan. I think they're joking.
Yeah.
Hiroshima.
Yeah. I was hoping. Okay. Maybe there's a conflict I haven't studied. Is this Grenada?
Canada.
Is that, Soviet Afghanistan. Okay, yes. Actually, we did help Afghanistan. There. We did help Afghanistan kick the Soviets out.
So yes, we armed and helped the Mujahideen.
Bad news. I got some bad news for you.
We then went back and tried to do the exact same thing ourselves.
Exactly. We're like, who armed these people?
But for a short period of time, we did good.
We did. We armed the Mujahideen. yes. Captain, was it?
Captain Obvious?
No. What was his captain?
Charlie Wilson.
Yeah, Senator Charlie Wilson. Yeah, Charlie Wilson's war. Yeah, so we armed the Mujahideen to get the Soviets out of Afghanistan. And then we went
only
to war
to turn
with them.
Around and do the exact same thing ourselves.
How about when we created Hamas?
Mm-hmm.
That worked out well, right? I mean, we're getting the war that we want now, right?
Okay.
I
can't really think of anything. But that is right. When we helped the Mujahideen in the 80s against the Soviets, I guess.
That's something.
At least the CIA has decided to start telling the truth. That's a win for today. So today,
that is a win
CIA
for today.
Yeah.
Borg Khan says in our chat in Rumble, he says it was the Soviets that were assholes. Russia is not the USSR. That's very, yes, that's 100% accurate.
Yeah, it was the Bolsheviks that were in Afghanistan.
I just finished reading Anthony Beaver's, B-E-E-V-O-R, he's British, his great work on Russia and the Bolsheviks. And you want to talk about just some of the worst human beings.
I don't. Oh no. God. We have already established that Natalie's in a bad mood today.
Go read about the Bolsheviks. Oh, my God. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. We're going to move on to Justin Trudeau because he's a clown and we can use some comic relief. We're going to talk about him in a second because he also is in town for the United Nations and he was on Colbert recently. And he is generally one of the best butt of our jokes because he's an idiot.
Yeah. Also, he just a few minutes ago survived a non-confidence vote. So, I mean, how much of a clown do you have to be in Canada and you still cannot get thrown out of office? I mean, look at the United States, right? We have Biden still. But, I mean, yes, a non-confidence vote. Trudeau just survived that non-confidence vote. But he's got a new job that he's planning for. Yes, we're going to tell you about that in just moments. What could Trudeau's next job be? Oh, wait until you hear about this. So we're going to talk with David Creighton in just moments about that. But first, listen up, America. It's no coincidence we are seeing a surge of new health crises, just as critical decisions need to be made. First, a massive COVID-19 spike, 1.2 million new cases reported daily. Then the World Health Organization declares monkeypox a global health emergency. And then this morning, Kathy Hochul in New York says EEE virus is now a big deal, the mosquito virus. And now we're gearing up for the bird flu summit in Washington, D.C. It's clear they are setting the stage for more planned epidemics right now. These aren't just coincidences. They're calculated moves to keep us in fear and control. Ask yourself, were you prepared for the last pandemic? Shocking, 48% of Americans don't have any emergency supplies, according to the National Center for Health Preparedness. We saw how the medical and pharmaceutical industries failed us the last time. They left us to fend for ourselves. So you guys got to get one of these in your house. Keep it in your medicine cabinet. And that is the Contagion Emergency Kit from our friends at the Wellness Company, from our friends Dr. Peter McCullough over at the Wellness Company. It's packed with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak, Tamiflu, budesonide. I hope I'm saying that right. Budesonide and a nebulizer and treatments they don't want you to have. Forget waiting in line or struggling to find a doctor willing to prescribe these life-saving medications. You can get one, keep it in your emergency space, in your medicine cabinet, and always have it ready to go. Again, go to twc.health/redacted. Save $30 at checkout. Get the Contagion Emergency Kit today. That's twc.health/redacted. Well, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is hanging on by a thread, barely surviving a vote of non-confidence today. And the Liberal media is trying to pretend that the whole vote of non-confidence was brought by Conservatives over a dental plan. Well, Pierre Poilievre on the opposition just destroyed the Liberal media over that lie. Watch this.
And that's why we have a common sense plan to axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime. Axe the tax. This will be a carbon tax referendum. A carbon tax election. And I know that the media has worked hard to try and avoid me saying the words carbon tax, as we saw in the extremely dishonest and fraudulent report from Bell Media Controlled CTV, whose bonds have been downgraded to near junk status as its overpaid CEO empties the books to pay his wealthy friends an unacceptably and unrealistically high dividend. But I am the reason why he and his other cronies at that company are going after me is because he knows that I'm standing up for the people against the crony capitalists and insiders like him.
And Justin Trudeau just appeared on the Stephen Colbert Show. I mean, those are two peas in a pod trying to save his job in New York City. David Craden writes at the Post Millennial. He's got a great YouTube channel as well. Craden's right. And he joins us now to talk about all of this. A lot of craziness happening in Canada, David. So it appears that Justin Trudeau has a job for another day.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised how quickly this collapsed around the opposition motion. There was a lot of hope, a lot of encouragement at the very beginning that this was going to mean the end of this Trudeau tyranny, that Pierre Poilievre really was going to get some support from the other opposition parties. Suddenly, we have Jagmeet Singh, the leader of the NDP, saying, "It's not that I support Justin Trudeau anymore. Remember, I just ripped up our coalition agreement. But I just oppose Pierre Poilievre so much. I am so anti-conservative that I have to support the government." And of course, the treasonous, traitorous Bloc Québécois party, a separatist party that I always say has no business sitting in the House of Commons. It doesn't fight for Canada. It doesn't work for Canadians. It fights for separatism. But it also supported the Trudeau government in this. And once again, why are they doing that? Are they going to get some favors back from the Trudeau government? Well, of course they are. They have their agenda. It's all about Quebec for the Bloc. But the NDP, of course, we don't know what on earth Jagmeet Singh is thinking from one day to the next. And one day he's talking about ripping up the government, and I just can't stomach Justin Trudeau anymore. I can't stomach the Liberals because they have no credibility. They have nothing in common with the ordinary Canadians they pretend to represent. The next day he's talking about he has to support them. So these are very strange times politically in Canada. But I think Pierre Poilievre has made a point here with this non-confidence motion. He's going to continue to insist the government be accountable to Canadians, which Justin Trudeau continues to refuse to do. He does not want to be accountable. One of his ministers recently said, Canadians don't want elections. It was the foreign affairs minister, actually, Melanie Joly, who said, Canadians don't want elections. They just want us to govern. Well, is he going to be saying that in 2025 if he survives until the next planned federal election? Will he say, Canadians don't need elections. They just need me. They just need the Liberals to continue to govern. This is a very ominous expression coming from any cabinet minister in the Liberal government.
We also have French President Emmanuel Macron is coming to Canada. That's going to be another peas in a pod there. It's amazing to me, the wildly unpopular French President Macron is coming to meet with Justin Trudeau, I guess, to try to bolster support in Canada. This is hilarious. I mean, is Macron well liked in Canada at all? What's the thinking here? I've seen the U.S. press calling it the Obama effect. Like, they're hoping that a little bit of that love from Emmanuel Macron will rub off on Trudeau.
I'm certainly not seeing any indication of this outpouring of affection for Emmanuel Macron. This is a man who wants to go to war with Russia, with a French military that's almost laughable. And besides that, he's been facing huge protests in his own country. So I don't know where the illusion is coming from that Macron has any popularity in Canada that's going to rub off on Trudeau. Trudeau will accept anybody's popularity at the moment. He's 20 percentage points behind the Conservative Party. He remains in the basement. He's going anywhere possible to get the love and affection he thinks he deserves. He's not getting it from Canadians. Wherever he goes, he faces protests. He faces opposition. So as I think we're going to be discussing momentarily, he went to New York City to get some warmth and affection, first of all, from the United Nations, where I believe he wants to be the next Secretary General to replace the very aged Antonio Guterres. He was auditioning for a job there this week. Then he goes where, of course? He goes to see Stephen Colbert, where the audience just thinks Justin is so cool.
I mean, one of the questions, I was actually surprised, you know, he kind of brought up the fact that he's been, you know, not well liked. He talked about the unpopularity and I loved his response. And we can't show any clips of the Colbert Show because we'll get a copyright strike for whatever reason. The Colbert Show in 60 Minutes, they don't want you promoting their show at all and talking about it. So we'll just show you some still images here. But what's interesting is that Trudeau said in response to why he's so unpopular, he said, "People are taking a lot out on me for understandable reasons. I've been here and I've been steering us through all of these things, and people are sometimes looking at change." Like, what does that mean? So the reason he's like disliked in Canada is because he's been steering Canadians through troubled times, and he, you know, that's why they dislike him. He steered you guys through COVID. He steered you through the Ukraine war. He's your leader, David.
Well, he's steering us to the precipice of disaster. That's where we're going under Trudeau. But this is it's emblematic of a narcissistic individual to say, it's not my fault. It's not my problem. Don't you people realize that I'm just essential to your well-being, that I am essential to the future of Canada? This is how he talks now. He was asked about the non-confidence vote, for instance, and he said, you know, it's about power for the Conservatives. And here I am. I don't want power. I'm seeking the good of all Canadians. And he talks in this ego-driven, unalloyed, narcissistic manner in a consistent way. But I laughed at him on the Colbert Show because he described Canada as this land of rainbows and unicorns. He said, well, not all the time, though, but we have our fair share of it. Is there a 10-year-old girl trying to emerge from the body of Justin Trudeau? Because rainbows and unicorns, it's very, very bizarre language. But I really almost lost it when he recommended Canada's healthcare system as the panacea for all of the U.S.'s ills, and that don't come up to our border for cheaper drugs anymore. Just have Medicare like we have, so you can spend more in your taxes than you already spend for private health care. And you can go outside of the country to find operations that you can't have done because Medicare can't provide them. 100,000 Canadians leave the country every year to go to the U.S., Stephen Colbert, for operations that they can't get in Canada in a timely manner. They'll die before they get the operation. That's how great Canada's healthcare system is.
Yeah, if you have an emergency, maybe you can get help there in Canada. But if you've got some, I have friends in Canada who've said ear, nose, and throat issue, other stuff, and the earliest appointment they could get was 2026 to go see a specialist to get it taken care of. 2026! Like, that's Canada's healthcare system. Way to go. It's unbelievable. And, you know, it's amazing that he's in New York meeting with the likes of Klaus Schwab at the United Nations and these other individual disease globalists who are trying to wrest power away from sovereign governments. That is the plan. Over the weekend, the Summit for the Future, the Pact for the Future, which is what they were signing, basically takes sovereign power away from Canada, away from the United States, and it gives power to the United Nations. No wonder he was in New York. He's wildly unpopular, 33% approval rating for Trudeau. It seems to be the same strategy is being deployed in Canada as it is in the United States, David, which is we don't need voters. We don't need elections. We will just sort of sidestep all of that. And we will just rule. So you like us. We don't need elections. We don't need voters. That's exactly what they're trying to do right now in the United States.
Well, you know, precisely, because when Biden was running for president, people said, don't worry, it's the people around him that matter. Kamala Harris, you don't think she's very intelligent? Don't worry. She's surrounded by some great advisors. And that's the argument. Don't worry about who you vote for. Worry about the people they surround himself with. And of course, this is insanity. But it comes back to me. There is a stark similarity between the last days of Joe Biden as the Democratic presidential candidate and the last days of Justin Trudeau as the leader of the Liberal Party. 24 hours before Nancy Pelosi deposed Joe Biden as her party's candidate for president, Joe Biden was on the stage literally 24 hours beforehand saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be my party's candidate in the next presidential election. 24 hours later, he was passing the torch to a new generation. It was just a game. Justin Trudeau was saying the same thing. He just lost another by-election, which we didn't mention. He lost a huge by-election in Montreal, Liberal stronghold like Toronto. A seat formerly owned by his justice minister at the time, David Lametti, who resigned his seat after he was demoted as justice minister. Strong Liberal seat, though. It was picked up by of all things, the Bloc Québécois, which really is not popular in the Federalist Montreal. But Trudeau said, even before he lost it, he knew he was going to lose that seat. He said, I'm not going anywhere. And I thought, where have I heard that before? It sounds like Joe Biden.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't need voters anymore. I mean, yesterday on the show, I described the 28th Amendment in the United States and how they're moving to basically sidestep elections in the case of a mass casualty event, you know, emergency powers. We don't need voters. We don't need special elections. And seems like Canada moving in that direction as well. We don't need elections. Canadians just want people to rule. Maybe that's why Zelensky's in town. They can learn how it is to cancel elections and learn from that in Ukraine. David Creighton, great to see you as always. Really interesting times as we head into an election in the United States, watching what unfolds with the visit of Emmanuel Macron of Canada. I hope you guys roll out the welcome mat for the wildly unpopular Macron in Canada. David, great to see you as always, my friend.
Thank you so much, Clayton. See you soon.
Thanks so much, David. Hey, I want to make an announcement. We're going to be giving away some free merchandise. Yes, some redacted hoodies, some redacted mugs and t-shirts, and it's all part of a plan for our newsletter. So you have to be subscribed to our daily newsletter, and what we're going to start to do is put some interesting little hidden nuggets inside of the newsletter. And then during our live show, we're going to be asking you, have you found these little nuggets? And the first individuals that are able to respond, we're going to do, I think, weekly in the newsletter and on the show. We're going to be giving away some redacted hoodies from our redactedstore.com. So you have to be subscribed to the free newsletter. It's totally free. We publish it every day, Monday through Thursday, and we cover about four or five of the big stories of the day. Plus, we try to do it with a little bit of humor, a little bit of levity, and bring you up to speed on things you might have missed overnight. You can read it during your morning coffee or over your lunch break, wherever you happen to be around the world. But anyway, go to redacted.inc, sign up, and you'll receive a welcome email from me, Clayton at redacted.inc. Just move it over to your inbox because it might go to your spam folder, it might go to your junk folder, something like that. Just move it over to your inbox and you have to click accept that, yes, you do want to receive the newsletter. And again, we publish it Monday through Thursday. So we're going to be starting giving away some of this merchandise and be able to feature some little hidden nuggets, little Easter eggs that are hidden inside of the newsletter. And then during the live show, we're going to ask you to participate. We're going to put up a live link that you'll be able to jump in and actually submit your answer in order to start getting some free redacted merchandise. So it's something we've done. We did a few years ago. It was wildly popular. A lot of people loved it. And people said, hey, can you bring that back? So we're going to bring it back. So yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Okay. So anyway, redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for the newsletter. If you're already subscribed, great, great. But if you're not, join us, will you? Thank you guys so much for joining us here on the show. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Hope you have a great night, everyone.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.